You sure these Adirons aren't still here? Avijah asked, looking round anxiously. Dorolo peered into the darkness too and made the sign of the circle of flame. Positive, Horza said. I checked. Station 5 hadn't been difficult to search. It was an ordinary station, just a set of points, a chicane in the command system's double loop, and a place for the trains to stop and connect themselves with the communication links to the planet's surface. There were a few rooms and storage areas off the main cavern, but no power switching gear, no barracks or control rooms, and no vast repair and maintenance area. Marks in the dust showed where the Adirons had walked away from the station after the battle with the mine's crude automaton, heading for Station 6. You think there'll be a train at the next station? Whoopsin said. Horza nodded. Should be. The engineer nodded too, staring vacantly at the double sets of steel rails gleaming on the station floor. Balveda swung herself off the pallet, stretching her legs. Horza still had the suit's infrared sensor on and saw the warmth of the culture agent's breath waft from her mouth in a dimly glowing cloud. She clapped her hands and stamped her feet. Still not too warm, is it? She said. Don't worry, grumbled the drone from underneath the pallet. I may start to overheat soon. That ought to keep you cozy until I seize up completely. Balveda smiled a little and sat back on the pallet, looking at Horza. Still thinking of trying to convince your tripedal pals you're all on the same side? She said. Huh, said the drone. We'll see, was all Hordes would say. Again, his breathing, his heartbeat, the slow wash of stale air. The tunnels led on into the deep night of the ancient rock like an insidious circular maze. The war won't end, Avijah said. It'll just die away. Horza floated along the tunnel, half listening to the others talk over the open channel as they followed him. He'd switched his suit's external mics from the helmet speakers to a small screen near his cheek. The trace showed silence. Avijah continued. I don't think the culture will give in like everybody thinks it will. I think they'll keep fighting because they believe in it. The Adirons won't give in either. They'll keep fighting to the last, and they and the culture will just keep going at each other all the time, all over the galaxy, eventually. And their weapons and bombs and rays and things will just keep getting better and better. And in the end, the whole galaxy will become a battleground until they've blown up all the stars and planets and orbitals and everything else big enough to stand on. And then they'll destroy all of each other's big ships, and then the little ships too, until everybody will be living in single suits, blowing each other up with weapons that could destroy a planet. And that's how it'll end. Probably they'll invent guns or drones that are even smaller, and there'll only be a few smaller and smaller machines fighting over whatever's left of the galaxy, and there'll be nobody left to know how it all started in the first place. Well, said Una Harkloth's voice, that sounds like a lot of fun, and what if things go badly?
That's too negative an attitude to battle, Avijah, Dorlo's high-pitched voice broke in. You have to be positive. Contest is formative. Battle is a testing. War a part of life, and the evolutionary process. In its extremity, we find ourselves.
Usually in the shit, Yalson said. Horza grinned.
Yalson, Dorlo began. Even if you don't be...
Hold it, Horza said suddenly. The screen near his cheek had flickered. Wait there. I'm picking up some sound from ahead. He stopped, sat still in midair, and put the sound from outside through the helmet speakers. A low noise, deep and boomy, like heavy surf from a long way off, or a thunderstorm in distant mountains. Well, there's something making a noise up there, Horza said.
How far to the next station? Yarsin said.
About 2 kilometers.
Think it's them?
Nysin sounded nervous. Probably, Horza said. Okay, I'm going ahead. Yalson, put Balveda in the restrainer harness. Everybody check weapons. No noise. Wubslin, Nysin, go forward slowly. Stop as soon as you can see the station. I'm going to try talking to these guys. The noise boomed vaguely on, making him think of a rock slide heard from a mine deep inside a mountain. He approached the station. A blast door came into view round a corner. The station would be only another 100 meters beyond. He heard some heavy clunking noises. They came down the dark tunnel, deep and resonant, hardly muffled by the distance, sounding like huge switches being closed, massive chains being fastened. The suit registered organic molecules in the air. Adirin scent. He passed the edge of the blast door and saw the station. There was light in Station 6, dim and yellow as though from a weak torch.
He waited for Wubslin and Nysin to tell him they could see the station from their tunnels. Then he went closer. A command system train stood in Station 6, its rotund bulk 3 stories tall and 300 meters long, half filling the cylindrical cavern. The light came from the train's far end, high at the front, where the control deck was. The sounds came from the train too. He moved across the foot tunnel so he could see the rest of the station. At the far end of the platform floated the mind. He stared at it for a moment, then magnified the image to make sure. It looked genuine. An ellipsoid, maybe 15 meters long and 3 in diameter, silvery yellow in the weak light spilling from the train's control cabin, and floating in the stale air like a dead fish on the surface of a still pond. He checked the suit's mass sensor. It registered the fuzzy signal of the train's reactor, but nothing else.